Hello, folks. Mike the Ref, senior engineer at the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network here. And welcome to the debut edition of Geeking It with Andre C. and his buddy Nick. For people that have been wondering what Andre C. has been up to, we haven't had many wrestling clarities on lately. Andre C. has actually ventured out into his own podcast here. Andre and his buddy Nick and a few other friends, we're going to be discussing all things geeky, whether it's movies, TV, comics, a little bit of wrestling, of course, thrown in there, because you can never take the wrestling out of Andre C. So, but just to give him a startup, we wanted to show what he's been up to, and we're going to publish his first episode on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. So if you like it, make sure you subscribe to it on geekinit.podbean.com. There should be an iTunes link up there sooner than later. Also a Google Play. I know Andre's in the middle of working that up right now, but he needed to get the first episode in first. So, but enough of me clamoring here. So let's take it out to Andre C. and his buddy Nick for the debut edition of Geekin' It.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first edition of the podcast, Geeking It. I am your host, Andre C., and I'm here with my good buddy, Nick. How's it going, Nick?
Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good. So let's get start off talking about what this podcast is going to be all about. So pretty much, this is going to be all about the geeky stuff we love, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so going to have comics, comic book movies, TV shows, wrestling. You know, what we love, right?
Yeah.
So, give me a little bit of background of your geekdom. Like, I am a comic fan, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Marvel guy, 100%.
Nice.
I got a brother who's about 5 years older than me, so the two of us sort of grew up playing video games. I was kind of the player two, backseat kind of kid for the start, and then started getting more into the JRPG sort of stuff and fighting games and...
Nice.
That all sort of led to comics. Comic book movies came out of that. And, yeah, can't really say too much more on that. I mean, I collect Marvel first appearances, read a lot of the Robert Kirkman sort of independent stuff, like Invincible.
Nice.
So, yeah.
My background's more, is I just kind of found comics when I was a kid, was reading them for a long time. Kind of fell out of love with them for a bit there, kind of in high school. Then after high school, I kind of found it again.
Specific comic turning point, or was it just life?
Just life, I guess. I kind of just fell out of it. I think it's because I became a fan of wrestling right around 2000, 2001, right as I was going to high school. I kind of think wrestling just replaced it, weirdly enough.
Makes sense.
You think, for someone like me, I think it would be both, but now it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just and then I
sometimes it's tough to deal with being a diehard of two things at the same time.
Yeah, I got it back into comics probably after high school when I was working and I could kind of afford to buy my own comics again. Mm-hmm. I guess it just was like I was getting older and you know, my parents stopped buying them and I started buying them for myself. So this is what it was. So and then obviously comic book movies, that much more, right? So. And
yeah.
So, comp movies, we're going to firstly talk about Doctor Strange, which mm-hmm. just recently came out, and both of us saw an opening weekend.
Yeah.
Give me your overall view of this movie.
I thought it was good. The big thing for me, actually, that like blew my mind was the minute that I saw Scott Adkins walking behind Caecilius as one of his disciples.
Yeah.
Because you know who Scott Adkins is, right?
Not sure. Explain it to
me. He's a really, really famous stuntman who, in the Undisputed movies, he played Yuri Boyka.
Okay.
So he's good at all the like really, really, really impressive looking fighting.
Oh wow, okay. I didn't know that really.
Oh yeah, he's got the martial arts background to back it up too. Like actually pretty accomplished as a legitimate fighter too. So
nice.
The second I saw his face, I was like, oh, there's going to be a good scene. And then the scene with him was when they were fighting in the sanctuary and he gets wrapped up by the cape. That's the guy.
Oh, the guy is just like choked out by the cape.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that part. Like this was actually one of my favorite movies I've seen from Marvel actually in a long time. Like, I've been a fan of everything, don't get me wrong, but I think because it was such a departure from what we've seen over the past, the entire time, really, it's magic. Other than Thor, we haven't really seen magic into the universe.
The cool thing about magic in the Marvel Universe is if you listen to any of the interviews by Kevin Feige or Feig or whatever his name is, the head of Marvel Studios.
I say Feige.
Feige? Yeah, fair enough. He pretty outright said that magic doesn't exist in the Marvel Universe, including Doctor Strange.
So what is it? I don't get what that would mean, though. That's the thing.
His was quantum physics. Doctor Strange was quantum physics. Like, there's actually a guy on YouTube. His name's Matthew Patrick. He's got a series of channels that sort of deal with the science and the sociology and the culture and everything like that behind things in comics and video games and movies.
Okay.
And he does about a 10-minute breakdown of how quantum physics actually applies to a lot of the magic in Doctor Strange.
Oh, wow.
And it's really cool. Like, a lot of the stuff he does, like, he does would a bullet bill from Super Mario actually do enough damage to kill you? And it's like, he bases it off of, like, the standard height and weight of Mario versus, like, the speed based in, like, the frames. And it's really cool.
Wow, okay. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, he's got two big channels called The Game Theorists and Film Theorists, and they pretty much tackle their own independent mediums there.
Okay. But I just like how Doctor Strange opens it up for – there's a lot of, like, lesser-known comic books that deal with whatever Kevin Feige wants to call it. I still call it magic, the magic side of the universe. I think it really opens it up, especially now you're going to see – with Thor Ragnarok, we're obviously going to see Doctor Strange in there. And it's supposed to be, I think, a planet Hulk, take off of Planet Hulk on top of it all, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So, there's Adam Warlock, who was known as a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy, is a big instance of magic in the universe, in the Marvel Universe. We saw him actually in the cocoon for Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 as one of the Easter eggs in one of the pods in the collector's room. But I think having Doctor Strange opens it up for more characters like him to come out. And I think it'll make the Thanos stuff with the Infinity Gauntlet more plausible, having had introduced magic into everything.
Yeah, well, they sort of explained away Scarlet Witch as like a mutation instead of magic, which I thought was kind of a cop-out. But
yeah,
I'm not sure, obviously, what aspects of her they had access to before they would get into trouble with Fox over the mutants. So
well, the whole thing was if and you look at the comics, they retconned Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch to they're actually humans. Yeah. Or they retcon that they're not actually Magneto's children, that they're actually inhumans, and that's where they get their powers from. I don't Terrigen Mist. The movies haven't explicitly said that because they were experimented on to give their powers. I don't know if that was had to do with inhuman stuff. I hope it does.
I'm sure they had to retcon them to get them, like, to get the rights to use them.
Well,
because if they had, like, they can't use the word mutants. They have to call people gifted and stuff like that, right?
The funny thing is, though, with the Avengers franchise, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are part of the Avengers franchise, like in the comic books and everything. So it was a weird medium that both companies had rights to Quicksilver, because you've seen two different versions, right? Because Marvel owned them in the Avengers category, and Fox owned them in the X-Men category. So that's why they both had play with it, because he was technically a member of the Avengers also. So that's why they had rights to use him in the movies.
Yeah, I suppose, but
They did have to get away from using him. They had to get away from using mutants, though.
Yeah. So like, they couldn't use Wolverine, even though he's been an Avenger, because his background is so heavily based in X-Men.
Yeah, but it's just for some reason, I don't know how it worked out. But I think it opens up perfectly for everything. And I loved Benedict Cumberbatch. His portrayal, I thought, was pretty amazing in this movie.
He's always awesome. Have you ever watched Sherlock?
Oh, I love that. I love Sherlock. And he plays such a – he doesn't play an asshole in there. He plays like a guy who – he's so smart that everything's so logic-based, right?
Yeah.
I think that works perfectly. You can see the way you played Sherlock, but play him more of a as a dickhead. Because at the start of in the first half of this movie, he is a real dick. Like, you don't like him at first. Like, I didn't. I didn't like him at first but the thing is, he turns into more of a likable character as the movie goes on. I found him as really an arrogant jerk in the start of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me was he responded probably how I would, too, if someone said, magic.
Yeah, oh, don't get me wrong.
I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? You're an idiot. And then they'd prove it to me, and I'd be like, oh, okay. I can see how this goes.
I'd be exactly the same way. I'd be going, like, what are you talking about? This is stupid. But
I call him a jabroni.
Yeah, but I just this portrayal was good, and I thought the cast overall, everybody really did well to the parts. The ancient one, I think Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
I thought she was actually really, really good in her role. I don't know. I just really liked. I really liked the cast overall. I just thought the bad guy plot was a little weak.
The Caecilius thing.
Yeah. It seemed like very unmotivated. It didn't. It I don't know.
It was. I mean, it sort of felt like he was trying to go on a betrayal angle where it's like he felt betrayed by the people that wouldn't give him power. And it's just sort of like, why?
Why did he feel so bad? Like, it's like,
yeah.
There's like how many other sorcerers, let's say wizards, but yeah. How many other sorcerers there that haven't been given this power either? So why do you feel the right to be that you should be given this power versus everybody else?
It's also the fact that he's the only one that made the discovery of where the power came from.
True. Like, it's all coming.
I mean, you saw with Mordo, too, as soon as he figured it out, he was sort of turned as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, I truly believe his is going to be different. He wants to get rid of magic altogether versus controlling the magic for bad things. Because that's what he said. He wants to get rid of them all.
Well, he has more like a pious path, whereas Caecilius was just greedy.
Yeah. I don't know. The thing that bothered me was the whole where Doctor Strange actually did that whole keeps playing the same thing over in time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool, but it's like, okay, this is it. Just I think it played too long.
That whole part.
Cause I'm just after a few minutes of just sitting there like, this is getting really boring. I should have done it maybe 3 or 4 times and then ended it. Not like how like he killed him. I don't know, like over 20 times he killed him. But
I think it was one of those. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I think it was one of those things where it's like they needed to do it either 3 times or a lot of times. And so they went for a lot instead of 3.
For me, I'm a person that I would have taken the 3 times. Like, I don't need that 20 times, 40 times to get it across. I understand after 3. But that's me.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. I sort of thought it was kind of funny how he kept coming up with new ways to kill him and
don't get me wrong, it's not that I didn't like it, I just thought it was a little too long, a little too much. But it was cool that all different ways he did kill him, but it's just like, I could have done with 3 or 4 times of killed and then move the plot on, but, you know, it's Marvel, they like to swing for the fences most of the time, right? So. Yeah.
And I mean, doing it not an excessive amount of times would almost sort of devalue the whole, like, we are in a time loop. This is infinite. Like, it's got to almost go on too long.
I do agree to that because, yes, they're in influence. So he's trying to kill him over and over to get out of it, but he can't get out of it. I understand that whole part. I really do. So after this, what we got next is Guardians of the Galaxy next, and Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok next year, right?
Yeah.
So what do you – just – before we move on to the next topic, what do you think of those 3 coming up? Like, which one of those 3 are you looking forward to most?
Guardians 2, for sure. I mean, Black Panther's going to be sweet. I don't really know what the tone is going to be. I'm kind of hoping it's more serious.
Just off of the guy who played Chadwick Boseman, how he played Black Panther, I think it's going to be serious. But I think I do think we're probably going to get some good cameos in that movie from Captain America and a couple other characters we did see in before.
Yeah, which, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, and I did forget to say Spider-Man comes out next year too.
Spider-Man Homecoming, yeah.
Yeah, so you got that's four
with video game.
That's four Marvel movies in one. Well, one's a Sony movie, but it really four Marvel Universe movies in 1 year.
Yeah.
Have we seen that? I don't think we've seen four in 1 year before.
Maybe the second year of Phase One.
Possibly.
I'm not sure.
Honestly, I don't, because you got three coming out of the Marvel Studios and one coming from Sony, which is associated with Marvel now for the Spider-Man stuff. And I think that's going to be a huge comic book for comic book movies next year. It's either going to be amazing.
I think it might wear people out.
Or it's going to get people are just going to be, by the time Thor comes around, they're going to be like, we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It could do that, but I think Thor's got enough going for it with the rumors of it's already been confirmed, like a version of Planet Hulk and Doctor Strange also being in it, which this was actually a sleeper hit movie getting really good reviews, getting good box office. So I think, and a lot of people, I think there's people seeing it that are just better to Cumberbatch fans too, that haven't been watching, because like he's the kind of actor that can bring a fandom with him, and having a guy like him putting him into Thor Ragnarok, which I think the second weakest of all the movies coming out next year.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that they were willing to put a minor franchise on him, just because as far as Benedict Cumberbatch goes, he was not necessarily untested as a leading man in movies, but he hasn't really been the lead very much aside from the one about Alan Turing. But that wasn't at that same type of audience, so it was sort of one of those things where it's like, bit of a gamble, but he has a big enough following that, like,
I think it
paid off pretty well.
If Doctor Strange didn't work out, like, as we've seen it doing, I don't think it would have been as huge of a loss than what other movies have been, like. Had Guardians not worked out, I think it would have still, everything could have still kept going on the train it was, because Guardians, I think they were, yes, they spent money on it, but I think they were expecting that it might not draw.
Yeah.
This is, I think, another franchise where they were like, let's go for it, but it may not bring everybody in. But it did, because Marvel, it seems like if it's got Marvel on it, it's going to make money.
Yeah, and I mean, the ones that aren't, like, core characters, they can sort of spin different types of tones on, like, Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man were, like, the two big
Ant-Man,
sort of comedy ones.
That was the bet. Like, to me, I had so much fun with that one.
I'm surprised how many people didn't like Ant-Man.
I was surprised. But, like, for me, I thought, because it's essentially a heist movie. It's not, it's a heist movie where a guy has a bit of some superpowers, which is, to me, what really got that movie across to me.
Marvel's 11.
Michael Pena, I want him in being more Marvel movies. Just show up and be a comic relief for everybody. I just thought he was just perfect as the buddy. When I saw Ant-Man in Civil War, I was just hoping, where's Pena? You know what I mean? You just want Pena to be there, because it's just, you play off each other so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All stuff about, like, you know, my buddy's cousin's cleaning lady's uncle told me a story that he is told by this guy.
Oh, it's just, it was so good. I hope we see, because Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out in a couple of years. I look forward to seeing him back for that. And I look forward to the future of what Marvel really produces. And I'm really, with Black Panther being a very much less than, like, I think Doctor Strange has a big following in the comic world, but I think Black Panther, he's never been a big popular character in the comic books either. He's a vital character, but never been a super big one, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I mean, his own, like, single, like, the comics he headlined have never really pushed the same types of numbers as a lot of the other guys that have had feature movies, but
that's why I think that one's a big risk next year, because, like, that one's the biggest risk on all four of those movies. Like, everybody knows Spider-Man, everybody's gonna check out Spider-Man. We all know that.
I don't know that it necessarily is that big of a risk, though, because as far as pushing a female lead or a person of color lead, like, it gives them an extra benefit. That's just PR.
That's where I was going there, because you're pushing a movie all about your first lead black superhero. It's not your first black superhero in the franchise, obviously, with Don Cheadle and the guy who played, we talked about Cap's buddy.
Oh yeah, Sam Wilson. What's his name?
Yeah, why are we blanking on this? But he's not the first black superhero into these movies, but he's the first lead black superhero to lead a movie, to be a leader, to be pushed as a star in these franchises.
From the cast announcement, it looks like the majority of the main cast will be as well. Well, I mean, it makes sense. Wakanda's
nation. It's going to be in Wakanda. I just wish.
I mean, it's no Ghost in a Shell where they're going to cast T'Challa as a white guy.
Oh my God, that would be terrible. But I wish Marvel and Fox would have made a deal, because if you would have had Storm brought into that because she was married.
Queen of Wakanda. Yeah.
Queen of Wakanda. That would have been a perfect merger. Like just. A perfect little, even if she wasn't a main character, just a person there.
And I don't know that they need Storm yet.
But no, I just would have liked to have the ties. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you could have maybe even bring back Halle Berry for that role, or you find a strong black actress right now to really push the female black perspective there too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yes, we got Chadwick Boseman there, but it's like, I'm pretty sure they're going to have a strong female lead there too, in that movie too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
But I wouldn't be surprised. I just wish it would have been Aurora, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's one of those things where if they're taking right after Civil War, they're going to be basically doing his induction to, like, being the king. It's going to be
This is, I mean, just becoming the king, he's going to essentially be, like, learning to rule his kingdom by himself, because he's been with his father's right-hand man for so long. Being the number two guy who's been learning from the story, but now he has to figure out how to run his kingdom while also being part of now a team of Avengers. And eventually there will be a call for him. Probably by the end of the movie, we'll get our teaser.
I'm going to guess it's after credits, yeah.
Like, or whatever, you know what I mean? At the end, we're going to see that teaser of where he's going to go into Infinity War. Or in the future, there'll be that Infinity War teaser, how he's going to fit in, probably.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'm guessing it'll be Cap and possibly Cap showing back up in Wakanda, needing to wake up Bucky, and recruiting Black Panther, probably. I think it's going to be something along that sort at the end of in that post scene to go to Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah,
it just feels how it would end to me. How that just feels like a teaser. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well, they're gonna have to bring back Bucky in the near future because of all the talk of Captain America getting passed down to him.
Like, I have that feeling that it's gonna be Cap. Maybe actually another way I could see that them going is Cap dying, because they said they're doing it in two parts or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or it's actually now, it's now Avengers Infinity War, and then it'll be in another Avengers movie next year, but essentially it's being filmed together. I could see maybe Infinity War being where Cap dies, and the end of that movie is where Bucky's picking up the shield. Or he gets unfrozen by Black Panther, says, "We need you," and he picks up the shield.
As long as it's not another temporal bullet, like the first death of Captain America.
Oh, please no.
He was shot and displaced through time.
Oh, there's just been so many just bad things. Like Batman being killed, but he's lost in time. So many bad.
Pretty rare that a character stays dead when they die.
The longest of them all, though, was actually probably Bucky, because they killed him off back in the 50s or whatever there, and he stayed dead till, 2006 when they resurrected the Winter Soldier character, or when they brought that character to life.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Other than that, the only other major character that stayed dead for a good amount of time was Barry Allen, The Flash. But they brought him back. He came back
through the Speed Force, right?
They brought him back, but that was, 20-some years later? Which was probably one of the longest deaths in comic history outside of Bucky.
Well, hey, we're still waiting on Goliath. He died in Civil War.
Yeah, but when was, how long ago was Civil War, though? But I think that...
2011?
Yeah. 2010? Oh, Civil War's before that.
Well, yeah, before that.
Yeah, it's in the mid-2000s there, but
Yeah, yeah.
Do we need Goliath back? Really? Do we? I don't think he's going to really affect much. Like, unless they resurrect him here in Civil War II, or they resurrected him in Civil War II, I don't know. But I haven't read it yet, so.
He was too minor of a character.
Yeah, he was just essentially the person to kill off, so everybody goes, what the hell, and everything fires off from there.
Hey, you never know, maybe they'll do a Battle World 2 and they'll bring him back from another universe.
Oh, no, please no more Battle World, please no more. I actually stopped reading during Battle World, that whole Battle World crap. I couldn't stand it, and I came back after.
Like the Thor core?
I just really didn't like any of it. After like a couple issues of what I was reading, I was like, yeah, I'm done for a while. Canceled my subscriptions for a while, moved over to read some DC at the time, and then I came back. It was a little too much for me. So we're talking about, let's just move on to comics. We're talking about starting to talk about comics here, so let's move into comic books right now. Yeah. I know this is farther down our list as we were planning, but I think it works now. So
it's so organic.
I screwed it up there, didn't I? But
oh, well.
We've been talking comics, and what we've been wanting to do on this show is actually each one of us to highlight a comic book series that we're currently into and that we're loving. And I'm going to give it to you first, and then I'll pick up with mine.
Yeah, so it's not so much something that I'm reading right now. It's something that I read in the past, but it's become more relevant this last year.
Okay.
And it's The Runaways.
I haven't read them yet. I haven't read The Runaways, but I've read of them.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's a girl with a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So break it down for me.
Yeah, so pretty much they just got picked up this year to be for a show for Hulu in 2017.
Too bad you're then in Canada.
Yeah, and it's also being done by the creators of Gossip Girl, so who knows how it's going to turn out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Then again, it's CW. They may have influence from the CW. You know what I mean? I know it's Marvel versus DC, but the Gossip Girl came from CW people who have done pretty well with DC, so.
It's true.
You never know.
But, so the big thing, pretty much, is there's a chance they could turn it into sort of a teen drama. And there's ways that could work, but it's gonna have to be done in such a specific way if they do it that way. How it goes pretty much is it's a group of kids who they've all known each other for a long, long time. They sort of spend, I think it's a week together every summer. And
okay.
And when they spend this week together, like their age group sort of varies. Like the older kids kind of look after the younger kids, and all their parents meet up. So. One time, one of the kids decides he's going to sort of see what's going on, and he's crawling around, and I think it was a ventilation shaft. And they look in, and they see, and all of their parents are pairs of supervillains.
Supervillain, like bad guys.
Bad guys, oh yeah.
Nice.
And they're gearing up to some sort of evil plot, and the kids figure it out, and they run away. So there's the title.
The Runaways.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you find out that there's one girl named Nico Minoru who... her parents are like these evil wizards, and she discovers that she has magic powers. And there's one kid who discovers he's a tech genius, and one kid whose parents were time travelers and left her a raptor that's like linked to her biologically, so it'll follow her commands and can read her mind.
Yeah, I've heard of one of them. The power was control a dinosaur, so that's what I kind of found cool with that.
Yeah, and then there's also a girl who's like an alien that's sort of in the same vein as Starfire from Teen Titans.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, it's pretty much just like they all sort of go on the run, and then they are sort of finding the right way to confront their parents and develop their abilities and discover sort of their own pasts.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it could work really well as a TV show. It could bomb. So either way, we'll see.
All right. So we're going to talk about the comic book series I've actually been reading lately. It just started up in March. It's actually the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Something, my childhood, like, I was 6 years old when Power Rangers debuted in North America, the first season. Like, this is, like I think 23 years ago now. Alpha Flash.
Yeah, sure.
I loved this series when I was a kid. I watched it. In my childhood, I remember Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, and Power Rangers. The three main things I remember from when I was a little kid. Power Rangers is huge for me. And now we got the comic series. And about this comic book series has been, I've been reading, I'm about 4 issues in now. It's 8 issues are out so far. I'm picking up right lately, and I'm 4 issues in. What I really liked about it is they've actually updated, it was a really cheesy early 90s show, and it was really based in that early 90s. Every kid is good, but it's updated to now be taking place in 2016 area, right?
Okay.
And it starts out just after the Green Ranger, they turn him good, which was, yeah, I think episode 10 or 11 in the original series, just after they turn him good. And it's a little different because it actually has Zach actually questioning, should we really trust him? Should he really be part of the team? I like that it's showing actual emotion in it now. It's showing people not, it's like he was their enemy. Why? Like in the original series, it's like, oh, he's a power. He's a power. Oh, we broke the spell. He's automatically good now. And it shows Tommy actually wrestling with a conscience, which is actually Rita Repulsa, and trying, yeah, to convince him to go back to the bad side. And it reveals it a couple issues in that it's actually, she still has a bit of influence on him, and she's still trying to mess with his head. And I just...
So you think it's going to boil down to him hesitating in a fight and someone getting hurt, or...?
I don't know how it goes yet, because... Also, she's trying to take his power away from him. It's following the TV show the same way. She's trying to take his power from him. So, yeah, you know, and we all know he eventually becomes the White Ranger. He loses, yep, the power and becomes the White Ranger. So I just like the way they're building it. It feels like the thing he's doubting himself, which is the big thing, which we never saw in obviously the TV series because, you know, the way they portrayed him. But the comic book, he's doubting himself. And I actually could see him being like, in a fight going, I don't know what to do here, because he's so conflicted with what Rita is pushing on him. And it really is affecting him. And I don't know. And then the way they're portraying all the other characters, I found he's this guy who they're showing him as a guy who everybody's kind of martial artist. Trini's martial artist. Everybody's a martial artist except for him.
Yeah.
As we know from the originals. And he's, in the first couple issues, he doubts himself because he even says it in a conversation with Trini in the comic book. He goes, "What do I really give a part to this?" And she goes, "It's your brain. You help us in this." Like, he actually, in this comic book, he's helped fix the Zords and helps them control certain things better, like that. Help them control the Zords better, things like that, by figuring out the mechanical. And she's trying to convince him that his brain is what makes him a Power Ranger, not just his brawn. I like that it's telling these stories, because it's kind of things that in this world now people can kind of like see in themselves, mm-hmm, but not pushing in that cheesy way like they used to push it back in the 90s.
Yeah, so the writing's just more mature then.
Yeah, I find this audience, I don't think this comic book, to an extent, I don't think would work on kids now. I find this plays to probably a teenage audience, and maybe to that audience like me who's looking back at this comic book and reading it, expanded stories on what I loved as a kid.
So do you know if this ties into the movie that's been announced for next year?
I know. I don't think it's actually going to tie into the movie, because the movie's going to retell the origin story, the same as the comic book series, but it's telling it from the beginning. And they haven't. I don't think they never cast a Tommy Oliver in the movie, so I know it's just they're doing the 5 originals for this movie.
Okay.
But they have said for that movie they have plans for 7 sequels already. Holy down on paper. I don't think they have them fully fleshed out yet, but they said they want to do 7 sequels to this movie.
That's insane.
So you got to think, the first one is origin story, second one I would guess would be Tommy, the introduction, yeah, of Tommy and bringing him in, and then maybe by the end of the movie. And then, that Lord Zedd's I think Lord Zedd's probably movie 5 or 6.
You think they're going to stick with Rita Repulsa for that long?
If you actually watch the TV show, Lord Zedd didn't come in until mid-season 2.
True, show didn't have to deal with Rita Repulsa in 1 or 2 episodes.
She was in every episode.
Yeah, exactly. But, what I'm saying is, they sort of dealt with her by the end of season 1, and as TV translates to movies, typically a movie is a season.
True. Like, honestly, though, I do believe, because they never cast Tommy Oliver, and Tommy's was, like, introduced only, like, a few episodes into the main series. I truly believe, like, this, if you kind of think about it as chronological of the TV show, this mm-hmm. movie is the first 7 or 8 episodes of the first season. Because it's all it is. I watched the trailer and I looked at it going, they kind of, all the kids are in detention, which for one, I was like, okay.
Oh, they're teenagers with attitude.
Yeah. Well, they're teenagers with attitude. I understand that, but I'm like, I still look faithfully to the original series, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And just so that they were all, everybody's angsty, which I get now. I guess all teenager movies have to be angsty now. I don't understand why, but they are.
All hero movies have to be dark now, otherwise they're not good, apparently.
I don't get that, but
it's
Batman versus Superman.
Well, it's all Christopher Nolan turning everything dark, and then Frank Miller writing all the darker stuff in the late 90s as well. And
well, Dark Knight Returns, sort of that was like in the 80s, and he started the dark then. He really started the dark then. Then Todd McFarlane with Spawn, I think, was another big influence on dark superheroes.
Yeah, but that was more of an influence on the anti-hero. That wasn't necessarily like.
Well, I'd still say a darker hero though. Playing the anti-hero, playing the dark hero, but like I think the movie is gonna have enough nostalgia factor for this first movie to bring back the fans like me who were born during that era and were grew up on that show. I think they'll come back for this movie. They just gotta make a strong movie with that, because they have Bryan Cranston playing Zordon.
Yeah.
They have 5 relatively unknowns, and the one girl playing Kimberly, I know, is a former Disney star.
Yeah, they got Elizabeth Banks as Repulsa.
That was the one when they got them. Like, I was going, really, but then I saw her in the trailer, and I was like, I could buy. I think because it's a new take on everybody, obviously.
Yeah,
we know that.
Poison Ivy than Rita Repulsa.
That's what I literally was like. She reminded me of Poison Ivy. I'm like, this is not my Rita, but I gotta learn to love new stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna move on from comic books and movies, and we're gonna start talking now about pro wrestling. Yeah, something on the Evidence Sports Podcast Network, we are a big fan of pro wrestling here, and me and Nick, both big fans of pro wrestling. And we're going to talk about what happened at Survivor Series, mainly the main event, and what's to come from that. Yeah. Now, we had a 90-second squash match. I think it might have been less than that, but it was fast.
87, I think.
87.
27 seconds.
Really quick. So not like a 90-second squash match. Brock Lesnar tries to spear Goldberg into the corner, and Goldberg sells it like he's wearing body armor. Like, he literally took it in there and just kind of stood. Didn't sell it. Don't get me wrong, I liked it because it was a surprise. I don't think anybody expected a 90-second squash.
Well, you thought they were going to give you WWE Goldberg, but they gave you WCW Goldberg.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping for this match to be at most 10 minutes. Because anything more than 10 minutes to me would have been too long for Goldberg. And I think they would have had to have – I think you should, they would have had about – Goldberg dominating. I would have had a match where Goldberg dominated for the first couple minutes, then Brock comes back dominating for a few minutes, doing his Germans, keeping up a good pace, and then Goldberg coming through in the end, getting his comeback and getting his win. But this is not what I expected. Not at all. Nick, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, I've actually been thinking about it a lot, and the thing is, it's good they brought back WCW Goldberg, not WWE Goldberg.
I agree.
And it's not really going to affect Brock's momentum as long as he wins the blow-off. So, you know, when he was back in WCW, Goldberg was crushing guys like Hulk Hogan in like a minute and a half. And didn't hurt them any. They were fine.
True.
And so...
Cool. Hey, Hogan was more popular, I think, after he dropped the belt to Goldberg than he was before. I think he got actually big. Like, he got more and more momentum because everybody was wanting that rematch.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is people don't necessarily want to see the conqueror Brock Lesnar, the killer of the streak, and all these other things. They want to see almost, not necessarily humanized, but they want to see him sort of have to fight for something. They don't want to walk into something supposing he's just going to take it no matter what.
Because ever since he beat Taker, every time I see Brock Lesnar, I'm like, he's going to win. He's going to win. He's going to win. I haven't felt like...
Oh, yeah, he was...
I think his specialty is kind of, yes, he's the conquering beast, but I think his special factor has kind of gone away because he keeps winning.
Yeah, so
I think a loss gave it to him.
Exactly. So as it is now for their pay-per-views, Goldberg's 2-0.
And I really don't think that 2-0 matters really in the long run because for most fans...
In terms of storyline, it's 1-0 really.
And for a lot of fans right now, it's 1-0 because... Like there's fans of my generation that go back, but really, does that match in 2004 really matter to what's happening now?
It does to me.
Yeah, it's still really you, isn't it? But it doesn't.
That's enough fake shit up.
I don't think it really. To me, with what we're seeing now, it's 1-0. If you really think about it.
But to me, this sort of matchup isn't about who's going to win in terms of majority of victories. It's going to be about who wins the blow-off, and it's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Who's victorious in the end?
Yeah.
Like,
so
who comes
to me,
who wins – not who won the battles, who won the war.
I'd rather see Goldberg go over every time, and then at the very end at WrestleMania, see Brock Lesnar take him down. And then Brock Lesnar's in a better position to give somebody give a younger guy the rub, right?
Oh, I agree 100%. And, like, for me, my build-up, if you're going back, if you're going to do Lesnar and Goldberg at WrestleMania, which I don't see any reason why they shouldn't, what I hope is you see them both entered into the Rumble. What I would like to see versus, I don't know what you want, I'd like to see Goldberg come out at, say, number 10, hits a couple crates and jackhammers, gets 2-3 eliminations. Make him look strong, you know what I mean? Have him knock out a couple of guys. Then Brock Lesnar comes out, not as an entrant yet, comes out, throws him out of the Rumble. And, you know, Brock getting his revenge. Like, you know, Brock's pissed. Brock doesn't like him. He doesn't want to see him win. So he tosses him out and runs off. Say then Brock comes out, I say between 26 and 30 somewhere. Maybe not 30, but between 26 and 29. Comes out. And gets down to him and maybe two other people, and out comes Goldberg. Goldberg eliminates him. And then you can have your final two with whoever guys you pick, but then that serves as more motivation for Brock, I think, and then Goldberg saying, no, we're doing this again. I'm not letting you win. I'm not letting you take a title. You got to face me kind of feel. I think, to me, that's how I'd set it up. What do you how would you want to do it? Because we all know Goldberg's in the Rumble.
Yeah. No,
you do this?
I think your way would work pretty well, but to me, it's almost more about because the Rumble's the big pay-per-view before WrestleMania. Like, there's not another major one before.
Yeah, just the branded ones.
Whatever the branded ones are, yeah. Who cares about those as far as this storyline goes?
Yeah.
But the way that I see it is more Brock lobbies for an early spot, maybe even spot one. Puts in some good offense, knocks out like a considerable number of people, maybe even tries to go for the record.
Go 1-30 and get more eliminations in a row.
Not even necessarily 1-30. I don't even know if he cares about his own survival so much as showing his strength again because he's pissed, right?
He just wants to knock as many guys out of the Rumble as possible.
Exactly. Like, he's seeing guys, and instead of going in to help the guy get an elimination, he's taking the other guy's ankles and trying to toss them both. Like, he's just furious, right?
Yeah.
And so then I want to see Goldberg come out in the later half, like maybe 20. And okay. I want to see Goldberg and Brock just go at it, right? Just absolute, you know, no moves, just brawl.
Okay, just back and forth punches and kicks.
Just beating the hell out of each other in the middle of the ring while other guys are sort of off to the side going, I'm not getting involved in that.
Yeah, well, it makes sense.
And then once they brawl for a bit, they'll do a double elimination. Maybe one of them's going over and bear hugs the other guy and takes him with him or something like that.
Okay.
And then they just absolutely tear apart the outside of the ring. Like, they're just beating each other down. Like, maybe use a table spot if they want to go through a Spanish announce table.
Spanish announce table. That's it.
But, like, you know, maybe even do it in a fresh way. Have Goldberg spear Brock Lesnar and break it from the front instead of the top. Like,
that could work.
Do it in a really, like, physically impressive way and make them both come out looking like they can just absolutely go for days.
Maybe a spear off the stage into some tables that are set up around the stage?
Could be. Even just through the barricade. Whatever works, right?
Oh, that'd be nice. Right, like, you know that barricade section they have for where the ring bell is?
Yeah, the rounded one.
It's or is that because they got that corner. You have the where the and then you have that corner where you can where JoJo or whoever sits in. You spear him through that part of the barricade because again you don't want to go into the audience because risk hurting audience fans. You know, don't want to do that.
But if you on get the same vein though, they could put some audience plants in the front row and then they could pound them through a section of the wall that's not usually done.
Very true.
More shocking and impressive, right?
Very true. Or you can just use that rounded corner where, you know, it's always open. It is possible.
Yeah. I mean, bring out three or four NXT prospects and put them right through one of the side panels, not even through the corner.
Actually,
people wouldn't expect that, right?
That would actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that one.
So, yeah, because that just creates, like, a viable threat and a reason to buy WrestleMania if that's what you're looking for.
But right there,
and
though.
And then have Brock go over.
But right there, they're already fighting. So everybody would have, like, I would have won that fight right away if that were fighting that much. That's the only thing I would say wrong with that because I would want that fight right away. Because then you got to hold off for two more months.
Yeah, but they can always do, you know, take it back to Attitude Era version of build where they just mess with each other's stuff.
Could.
You know, there's lots of ways they could build it that would allow like a
you could go a couple weeks without them being on the show too. Like there's many weeks where neither one is there.
Yeah.
And Heyman is a really good factor for that because he'd come out, cut promos, and Goldberg could send his promos in too. He could just do a promo at home. And for the weeks where they're not going to be there, and then have Heyman show up for the weeks that Brock isn't going to be there. Have him keep Brock in that program in our heads, but don't push it too hard.
Yeah, or even just do a kayfabe injury.
Nah, I wouldn't
take
the injury.
Take one of them out for a month and then have him be like, I'm better now, and then have a few brawls leading up and then do it.
Ah, that could work.
Like, I
just don't think anybody would even buy an injury at that point. Because then if they do anything at Royal Rumble to set up for a match at WrestleMania, everybody knows it's WrestleMania. Yeah. So if they do a fake injury, everybody knows he'll be ready in time for WrestleMania. It's a program.
And you know, I bet you that part of the reason the squash match even happened as quickly as it did was to make sure that Goldberg wasn't hurt.
Oh, I agree.
They wanted to see how he could go in the ring, right?
And I've heard rumors that he was hurt, but Meltzer reported there was no injury to Goldberg. It's just the way they wanted to go for what they're coming with down the line.
Yeah.
And I think it lets Goldberg take two more months to get in real good shape for the Rumble, too.
Yeah, he was actually really impressive looking. I was surprised he came out as strong as he, like, as physically fit looking as he did.
Oh, don't get me wrong, he looks fit, but I worry about cardio, because dude hasn't wrestled in 12 years.
Yeah, that's true.
13, and come next month, that'll be 13 years next March.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope for the next 2 months he's doing nothing but, you know, keep his weights up, but do a lot of cardio, because he, especially if he goes into the Rumble and they're going to have him in there for a good chunk of time. He needs that cardio, and especially if they're going to do a proper match with Lesnar or Mania, he needs that cardio. And don't get me wrong, I think Lesnar needs better cardio because I've seen him in those matches, man, he gasses early.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Blow-off wouldn't ever be any more than 15 minutes anyways.
Oh, if you go even in the blow-off, I don't think you should go more than 10.
That's fair.
Just to protect Goldberg, because if you remember from Goldberg 2003 to 2004, his first match in with Rock was way too long. It went like 15 minutes, and I think that's what killed his momentum right there. He lost a lot of momentum with that match. Yeah. If they had brought him in, had him just destroy the Rock in a minute and a half, 2 minutes, could you just imagine the momentum he would have had going down the line?
Yeah.
Versus what he had just trotting away down the line versus speeding down the line like he did. You know, that's me, though.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to do it for us here on the first edition of Geeking It. Nick, I want to thank you so much for coming on and doing this show with me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So if anybody wants to contact us about this show, you can contact me on Twitter at ThatCanadaGuy. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Nick, for being part of this with me, and we will be back again, definitely, right?
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
Talk some more geek stuff down the road.
For sure.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.